When we pack up our things and walk out the door, the Holy Spirit walks out the door with us. Amen? Amen. Unless, of course, somebody were to walk in and see somebody dancing in the sanctuary. This is God's house. It's kind of those vestiges of days gone by where really this is a place where Christians come together and meet. But God dwells in our hearts. But they're walking up. They're not thinking necessarily of heaven. They're thinking of the temple. And so, of course, Solomon's temple was destroyed in 586 B.C. But here's a rendering of what it may have looked like, something like this. A rendering then of what the interior, the walls gilded in gold, the finest materials throughout the building. Of course, this is God's house. And God deserves the very best of what we can give Him. And, of course, in our minds, when we're thinking, what's the very best? Well, it's walls with gold and fine jewels. And of course, we see here, and I'm not going to go too much into this, but it's really a neat thing. The Holy of Holies sitting there in Solomon's temple. There was actually this huge stone inside the Holy of Holies. And the temple, the Ark of the Covenant sat on that stone. There was an area carved out. That stone now is called El Sakra. And if you look at the pictures of Jerusalem, there's a building with this huge golden dome built with money from Saudi Arabia. And El Sakra sits right in the center of that building. But etched into that stone is a flat rectangular cutout, exactly the dimensions of the Ark of the Covenant. Because that is where the Ark sat. Next to it sat the law. And so a neat thing we can go see. Of course, in our minds, when we're thinking of God's dwelling place outside of our hearts, we're thinking about God dwells in His heavenly city, in this place we call heaven, where we will spend time with the Father, time with the Son, there with the Holy Spirit and the heavenly host, the angelic host. And so, in Psalm 84:2, he says, "My soul longs, yes, it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God." This, he's so excited, so just over the top about this event that's about to take place. And this was not This was not an easy journey as they're walking through. Of course, it's dusty, it's dirty, they get thirsty, they get hungry, they can't stop at Love's or the Flying J truck stop. There's no refreshments unless you've brought it along with you. It's difficult, and the focus, nevertheless, is where we're headed. So often as we're traveling, we get caught up in these side things. Well, this is what's going, and this is what's going, and this is what's happening in my life. And one of the things about the Psalms of Ascent, one of the things they teach us so well is it's not about the journey. It's about staying focused on where we're headed. The journey is going to be hard. It's going to be dangerous. It's going to be difficult. But ultimately, the destination is why we're on the journey. It's like when you go to the airport and you want to travel somewhere. And when we had young kids, you know, it was they're running around screaming and we're thinking, okay, if we can just get them on the plane and get Benadryl inside of them, we're good to go. Don't judge me. You all use Benadryl for your kids, right? No, just we're the only ones. And my soul longs, but it's this other part of us, this inside part of us that says, you know, my body's hard. It suffers, it groans under the weight of the sin of the world. And we look, there are people that are handicapped and sick and in distress and suffering. But he says, he doesn't say, my body longs, my body's rejoicing. He says, my soul longs for this. And because my soul does, my body responds accordingly. Sometimes I have to force it. Sometimes I have to make it. But my soul just longs after God. It's all about our focus. Where are we looking? Where is our attention put? If we spend our time focusing and putting our attention on things that don't matter or shouldn't matter, our heart follows right along. Psalm 84:4 says, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Now, when we think about blessed are those who dwell in your house, we're thinking about angels, the heavenly hosts. Who's dwelling in the house of the Lord? Those that have gone on before us, the faithful that are there worshiping God at the foot of his throne, the angelic host, everything that's living in heaven. And yet for them, there might have been something just a little bit different, because of course there's the scribes and the leaders of the religious sects that are there, the heads of Israel are living there, the important people to them. And he's saying, blessed are those who are dwelling already there. We're so excited that we're going to be there. But boy, to live in that house, to hang out there. And I remember before I became a pastor, man, I'd go to church and I'd volunteer and work in the office. Sometimes I'm like, wouldn't it be awesome to work here, to just spend all day in church and hang out with the staff and the people here? And that's what they're saying. They're like, we're walking on this road and we're so excited to go there. But can you imagine living there, to be among the people, the leadership who get to hang out, and their sole job is to worship God, to be in his presence, to honor him, and to lead us in worship. Isn't that exciting? And then he goes on and he talks about this valley. He says, as they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. Well, the word Baca here isn't saying, oh, well, look at this beautiful valley. Baca is the valley of weeping. It's those times when we're walking along and we're like, we see this destination. We know where we're going. We're excited to get there. But right now, we just want to cry. Right now, we are so hurt. Right now, someone we love is hurting. Right now, our job isn't going the way our job should go. Right now, our children are going through a difficult time. My mom would say all the time, I don't know why life has to be so hard. And it's a question even today when I'm talking to her, if things aren't going well, she'll say, I don't know why life has to be so hard. And it's a fair question. Why is our life so difficult? Why do we have issues with money? Why do we even have money? Why do we have issues with other people? Why do we have issues with work and children? Why do we have health issues and all of the things that seem to pile on? And on top of that, we turn on TV and there's all of these things we have to worry about. The only break we get is if we turn on cartoons or we turn on a presidential debate. only things we can laugh at. And it says, we go through this valley of weeping, and our hearts are heavy. And even then, it becomes a place of springs. God says, even when you're walking through these valleys and everything looks bleak, when everything looks dark, I'm still going to give you evidence that I'm there along the way. There will be these small victories. There will be these times where I'm going to reach out and remind you that I am there. There's going to be times when you're not exactly sure why you got better, or why someone else got better, or why there was this healing, or you're not going to be sure why someone just walked up out of the blue and said, hey, I just want you to know I love you. Or, hey, I just want you to know, great job on that. But there are going to be times along this way, as you're walking through this valley, that I'm going to remind you that I am there. Those are times that they don't seem to come enough. But he doesn't say, I'm going to fill that valley up. He says, just a hint along that way, as you're going through those rough valleys, that you're there for a reason. They go from strength to strength, from each little reminder to each little reminder, from each victory to each victory. Each one appears before God in Zion. You're going to go from this to this to this to this, and ultimately, you're going to make it. You're going to appear before me on my holy mountain, there at the temple, where I've been waiting for you to come. Instead of growing weary, you're going to be energized. You're going to become excited about being there. This prospect of great things to come. Now, as I'm talking, this seems a little bit foreign. Because when we're going through those difficult times, it's hard to see those good things. And maybe you say, well, you know, Pastor, I don't really go through very difficult times. I don't really have those way down lows. I don't really struggle from day to day. Well, it may not be. Maybe you're fairly just chugging along on this even keel. But God is infinitely above that. So if you're having this even keel and you're not suffering these low lows, but you're not excited about the gospel and you're not excited about the things that come, if you're not excited and energized about what God has before you, you're still going through that valley. Maybe you don't see it. Have you ever seen somebody and things look pretty bleak and things, and they're sitting there going, oh, it's not so bad. It's like, shut up. If they look bad to me, they're bad to me. The popular thing is now they have a right to feel how they feel. And you do. Everybody has a right. If you feel sad, feel sad. If you feel happy, feel happy. But sometimes it seems when you're going and you see somebody and their emotions don't reflect the circumstances. There should be inside of us this overwhelming exhilaration because God has done what he has done for us. It is difficult for us to sit and say, oh yes, I'm a Christian. Because Jesus died for us. He took every sin that you can ever commit. He took David. David had committed murder. He had committed adultery. He had neglected his family, neglected his country, neglected the office that God chose him for, groomed him for, put him in place. Remember the setting? You have Jesse, and you have the prophet. He's standing there, and he says, okay, one of your sons will be king. And one by one, his kids go by, and the prophet says, nope. That's not the one. Well, wait a minute. I got another one here, and he's great, and he'll do a great job, and brought him up. Prophet says, nope, not that one. Says, well, yeah, you know, he goes through nine of the sons. First of all, he had nine sons. And one by one, the prophet's like, no, 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 no. And prophet says, don't you have any other sons? Really? This is it? And some really good candidates have been there. And Jesse says, well, I have one more, but he's a ruddy little creep, and he's out in the dealing with the sheep. He's a shepherd. Prophet says, well, go get him. So he goes out and he gets David, not a big guy. He's out there tending sheep. That's what he does. But he's managed to kill a lion. He's killed a bear, brings him up before the prophet. And the prophet anoints him king. Really says to him, it is through you the Messiah will come. You are the forerunner to the kingdom I'm establishing on this earth. And he has an affair, he has all these concubines, he has kids from different women over here and over here. He commits adultery with yet another woman, murders her husband, child dies from that, just on and on and on. And then chaos in his family. And yet God says, still, he is a man after my heart. He loves me and I love him. It doesn't matter what we see looking from the outside in. It matters what God sees. And it matters that in each of our lives. Because sometimes we're like, well, really, with what has happened in my life, with what I have done, could God use me? The question isn't whether or not God can use you, or whether or not you're even capable of being used by God. The question is whether or not you're willing and available to be used by God. God can use a donkey. He has proven that. God can use anything, anyone, anywhere, at any time, but he will not use someone who's not willing to be used. You say, well, I just don't know. I wish I were gifted. God doesn't want your gifts. God has those gifts. If he wants you to be the world's best singer, you will be the world's best singer. If that's what he needs at that moment, you will sing like the angels. He has withheld that gift from me. If he needs you to be a great orator, if he needs you to be a great mathematician, if he needs you to speak a different language, if he needs you to understand a different language, whatever God needs at that moment, God can accomplish that through you. If you'll say yes. Even if you're an adulterer, a murderer, a liar, a gossip, a thief, whatever you may be, a drug addict, a drunkard, whatever it is that you think keeps you from being able to be used by God, that is a lie from the pit of hell saying you can't be used. God can use anyone at any time if they'll say yes. In 84:10, he says, for one day, just one day in your courts is better than 1,000 days elsewhere, anywhere else. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. I would rather be a servant in your house than I would be sitting on a throne in the house of those that don't believe. I would rather eat off your floor than eat off their table. Recognizing who God is, it's better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to be a king over a country that doesn't honor God. It is better to spend one day with him and exist no more than to spend 1,000 years over here Maybe having everything you could ever want, but not having God. And that's the trade that we make. We make temporal happiness a goal in our lives. I need my air conditioner fixed. I don't personally need my air conditioner fixed. Although I would be using my air conditioner, it's going to be 68 today, and Tish will start a fire. I would rather, this is what the psalmist is saying, have my eyes and my needs and everything my desires dependent on Him and what He wants in my life than to have a few minutes of happiness. This idea of, if you've seen the things on some of the videos, YouTube or Facebook or some of the others, where they'll go through this elaborate scheme to make someone believe they've won the lottery. And then when they find out it's a joke, how do they... You have to YouTube that. It's hilarious. But can you imagine thinking, oh my goodness, I've just won $10 million. To find out, not only did you not win $10 million, but we spent $100 trying to make you believe you did. And the letdown of that. Why is it so important that we win that kind of money? Oh, well, we pay off our bills, pay the kids to go to school, pay off our mortgage, pay off all of these things that would make us happy. There's a difference between happiness and joy. Our joy is in the Lord. It's His promises. And He'll fulfill them whether we're really standing firm on them or not. God will keep His promises. The joy comes in knowing that we belong to Him. Happiness comes from knowing, hey, I'm doing pretty good today. I'm eating, got a place to sleep, the temperature's just right, the car's running. Things can take away your happiness, but your joy should be in the Lord. Your joy should always be there, even when happiness cannot find you that day. Remember, I quoted this earlier, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. For the Lord God, 84:11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. If we walk with God, if we do what is right, He will bless us and is able to bless us because we've allowed that to happen. You say, well, you know, I don't know why God doesn't bless me. I'm doing this in my life. And He says, look, when you're walking the path that God has established for us. So here's the will of God. And the Bible says, you know, narrow is the way to heaven, but broad is the way to destruction. So there are a lot of paths we can take. And we all veer off the path from time to time and wander our own way. This looks pretty good. I think I'll go over here. Or this looks pretty good. I think I'll wander along over here. God says, if you stay on this path, I'm able to bless you. People will know that you're on this path. People will know that you're doing what I have asked you to do, and I will be able to bless you. But if you're wandering your own way, doing your own thing, kind of having your own little party, doing your whatever it is you want to do over here, how am I able to begin to bless that? You're walking outside of my will. And He says, but if you walk uprightly, if you'll walk where I've asked you to walk. Now, that doesn't mean, by the way, God has His will. It doesn't mean that if we stray off, God says, hey, you're on your own. It feels like that because God will say, you made that choice. When you come back here, you're going to see that this is the better choice. But God is not going to let Satan have a field day with you because you've wandered off the path. Remember, he loves you. His heart is inclined to you. You are part of his will. You are written into the future of heaven long before the foundations of earth were ever laid. You are, according to the word of God, precious in his sight. Doesn't mean it doesn't bother him when you go off and do your own thing. And yes, he rejoices when you come back to do his will. But he's not going to say, oh, well, you're on your own. Because he loves you enough that he watches each step you take. Doesn't necessarily mean it'll be easy. And I'll close with this. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Let's pray. Father, sometimes it's difficult because we struggle with day-to-day things. Sometimes the road looks bleak. Sometimes the trouble seems to take over. Sometimes it's frustrating, just little things that come from day to day. But Lord, we know that you love us, both in the small things and in the big things. We know that you've put your angels in charge over us, that you guard us, that you love us, that you keep us. So Father, as we are on this journey, whether we are walking through the high places where the trails are easy and safe, or whether we walk through the valleys where there's weeping and destruction, Father, we thank you because we know that you are in control. We pray that you keep our steps safely on your path, that you remind us gently when we wander away, and we thank you for your love for us and the future that you have for us as we grow excited by each step at spending time in your dwelling place, because how lovely it is to spend that time with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
darkness can't drown out a single word. No, all the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word. And all God's children sing out, glory, glory. God bless you. Have a great week, everybody.